It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Who's the mayor of Auckland? The Ellen Melville Centre's in Auckland. Phil, it's a good centre.
Hey, isn't it fantastic?
Really cool.
That the upgrading that we did on the Ellen Melville Centre and all around Freiburg Square there, that makes it a really neat part of the city to be in. You know,
It really does. It's a great place to do that Breakfast Club show from.
Yeah, yeah, and just watching people over the lunch hour, just sitting around enjoying the ambience of the place. You know, we need more placemaking like that in Auckland. That makes it a really special city.
Hey, Simon Bridges, eh? There's a hard hitter. He's a... Hey, what are you laughing at? What are you doing?
I'm just holding my breath, waiting to see what you're going to say next. What are you going to say next?
I'm going to say what he said. Your council, pal, lacks fiscal discipline. That's how he would have said.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Come on. One thing I do know about you, Phil, is that you might spend shitloads of our money, but you're careful about it because you don't want that to come back and people call you grubby, Phil.
Yeah, yeah, I'm tight as a drum, and I get a bit hacked off with some of that criticism. You know, I've been in Parliament. I know how central government spends its money, and I know the constraints on it, and I know how MPs spend their money. I also know how councillors and the mayor spends their money. And I tell you what, I'd put my personal expenses up against any parliamentarian, including the leader of the opposition or any minister, to show that actually, you know, on areas of sensitive expenditure, I've cut travel expenditure for council by a third for this year. Now, I'll challenge Simon to go out and do, you know, to advocate the same for central government, because it's not happening.
This is Simon Bridges from the National Party.
Yep. Yeah, but look, it's more than that. You know, I've presented Simon and his predecessor, Bill English, and I'm seeing the Minister of Finance tonight in Wellington, what we are spending on our core operating costs. We have been increasing that, the basic expenditure of council,
at
lower than the rate of inflation.
1.3%, that's what I'm guessing.
You're pretty smart, Mikey. you're pretty quick. You know, hey, look, where is the big expenditure coming? It's obvious where it's coming. You grow this city by 45,000 extra people a year, so we add Hamilton every 4 years to Auckland. Do you need more transport infrastructure? Do you need more water infrastructure? Do you need more community facilities to cater for that growing population? And of course you do. And that's where the real increase in expenditure has gone. It's on capital investment in assets, and that means interest rates to pay for the borrowing, to pay for those assets, because you don't pay for your assets in cash. It's a bit like your mortgage. You know, you put a mortgage because you've got the house for 30 years and you'll pay it off over that period of time.
Hopefully.
And depreciation. As we grow our assets, and our assets are worth, I think, something over $42 billion or something, as you grow those assets, you've got to depreciate the value of them. So you've got to put money aside to maintain and upgrade them as they need upgrading. And those are the two big increases
in expenditure. I tell you what, I'm guessing, I've never been a mayor, but I'm guessing you can't just go splashing your cash around.
Well, we sure as hell don't do that. And, you know, last year the average increase in rates was 2.5%. We don't get what the government gets. The government, every time that you get inflation, that pushes people into higher tax brackets and they get an increase in their taxation all the time. All the increase in growth and population.
We love it in Auckland, though, Phil. We love it. We love it. Chuck the petrol tax on there as well and make everything more expensive. We love it. We love it.
I sat down with Simon and we looked at the old Auckland Transport Alignment Project and I said, Simon, this is in 2015 dollars, not even adjusted for inflation. We've got a $6 billion hole in this policy. What are we going to do to address that? And we haven't got an answer to that. We never got an answer to that from the last government. We're now spending $28 billion in the next 10 years without a big fiscal gap. We are funding that. And one of the ways we're funding that is because when we raise a regional fuel tax, 10 cents a litre plus GST, government matches that dollar for dollar. We can leverage off that and we can get $4.3 billion of greater expenditure in trying to keep our transport infrastructure up to pace with our growth. Now, if Simon, we weren't doing that before. Simon knew that there was a big fiscal hole in the budget, and he didn't tell us how we were going to fix that. So, you know, I don't accept the criticism now that you don't suddenly need a new form of funding, because we had a big hole in the budget before, and he could not tell me how he was going to fill that.
Must be annoying having to defend that, actually, to such an extent.
Oh, look, I understand central government politics, and the opposition's role is to oppose, and so they'll oppose everything. You know, that's fine. That's how the system works. But what, you know, Simon understands, I'm sure he understands, just like Bill English did, we had a massive problem in historic underinvestment in infrastructure, and we had to find a way of putting more investment in infrastructure so that our city can continue to move and can continue to be livable. And he understands that. The rest of it's just politics.
Text messages coming. Can you ask him why we still have to drive on crappy unsealed roads in Rodney?
Yeah, because Rodney...
Because Rodney's the country, that's why.
Rodney was the worst culprit over the last 20 years of underinvesting in infrastructure. I live in the south of Auckland in Franklin, and, you know, I used to live... my house used to be on an unsealed road, but Franklin put money aside, and Manukau put money aside to seal those roads. Rodney never did. We are now...
Don't start on a big beat-up on Rodney, man.
We are now multiplying the sums of money that we are putting into road sealing in Rodney. I know what it's like to live on a dirt road. It's crap. You get the dust and it's not safe.
Oh, it builds character.
Yeah, it does that. It gives you grit, usually in the mouth from having to breathe it in. So look, we are addressing that now. But to say that this is suddenly the fault of Auckland City or me, this is a problem that has been in the making for 20 years, and they consistently refuse to raise funds to pay for the sealing of roads in Rodney, and then they wonder why they've got the worst level of sealing in the city. And, you know, 99% of the funds that we're putting into road sealing over the next 10 years are going into Rodney. So they're getting a fair go.
Easy, don't you get worked up with that heart there, Phil.
I did a few meetings last week and I felt the blood pressure rising.
Well, don't say that. Imagine you pop your clogs in the middle of my radio show.
It'd make headlines for you, mate, but I'm not prepared to do it. No, not even for BFM.
I'm thinking of Auckland. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking of Auckland. They have to go through another mayoralty race with
another by-election. No. I'm valuable to the city. It costs $1 million to have a by-election. We don't want to do that, and I won't be doing it.
Hey, but the old sensitive area of the Waitakere's, of course, has come up again. Someone's saying that you're going to be cutting down the mighty Kauris to expand for the new water care development. Is that the deal? Is that what's happening?
Can I use that term crap again? I've been out there. I've walked over the site. Watercare has had a zoning for building a new water plant on that site for 40 or 50 years. Most of it is scrub. Most of it used to be under housing. Most of it's gorse and a bit of manuka. There are a number of kauri on the property, and Watercare will be doing everything possible to preserve that. But look, you can't keep having not in my backyard syndrome. We need a new water treatment plant for the Waitakere's. I looked at Oratia. That didn't work. I thought that the local community had justifiable action to say it won't work there. But in that area of Titirangi, that is right next to where the water treatment plant is now. I live next door to a water treatment plant. They're good neighbours, actually. They're not bad neighbours. We will be looking after the environment. But the first people that will come and whinge to me if there's a shortage of water because we haven't got our infrastructure up to standard would be the people that are protesting about building a new water treatment plant. The old plant's decades old. It does need renewing. It's been zoned for that site forever and a day, and the minimal impact on the environment does not justify people saying, no, it's got to be in somebody else's backyard. This is where the plant is now. It's going exactly next door to where the old plant is. And it's on the area that has been planned for and zoned for a water treatment plant since, I think, the 1940s.
All right, then. What about mowing the berms, Phil? It's been a big summer. There's been a lot of growth.
It's almost
the new alternative, isn't it? Letting your berms grow. Going, you know what? I'm just not going. We're just going to let them grow. It's 3 feet deep, and then your neighbours are all like mowing.
Yeah. Look,
I'm not judging anybody on their berms.
No.
Unless my kid gets.
For the 40-odd years I've been a ratepayer in Auckland, I've always mowed my berms. I've regarded that as part of my obligation to the city. You mow your own lawns and you mow the lawns outside. For people that can't do that, yes, it's done by contractors to Auckland Transport, but that will transfer over to the council in a couple of months' time. I accept that for those people that can't, or actually even those that won't, we're not going to let the whole street look like crap because somebody won't do their bit for the city and mow the grass outside their place. But I get a weekly report now on our mowing of reserves, etc. There was one company that wasn't doing very well at it. It constantly failed to come up to standard. We put financial sanctions that ran into quite a considerable amount of money on that company. And I'm pleased to say in the last couple of weekly reports that I've been looking at, they're now lifting their standards and they're doing what they should have done right in the first place.
Shot bay. All right, Phil, thank you very much.
Okay, mate. Good to talk to you.
See you next week.
Okay, cheers. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.